It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
And it's a great day to be alive wherever you are, even if your team's been eliminated from the NFL playoffs. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today here on You Better You Bet. Of course, you've got us here on Westwood One Sports, inside the Westwood One Sports app. I believe we're still streaming today on YouTube, youtube.com/TheCostos. Even though Nick is off today, we have got you covered. Obviously, we had the final game of Wild Card Weekend last night. The only one that didn't give us a little flutter in our chest and think maybe this thing's going to be tight at the end. I guess Sunday night's Chargers-Patriots game failed to deliver in that regard as well. But certainly, it got sideways and out of control fast in Pittsburgh between the Texans and my Pittsburgh Steelers last night. We will get into what it looks like going forward for those Pittsburgh Steelers in a good bit of detail today. Also, the rest of the playoff field, the divisional round is now set. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports is going to join us exactly 1 hour from now to talk about angles and storylines in each of those four games, Saturday and Sunday. We got to talk college football because there is news on the field and off the field. Obviously, on the field, a national championship game to be played in 6 days in Miami as the Hoosiers will try to win effectively a road game at Hard Rock Stadium against the underdog Miami Hurricanes. Brooks Austin, the film guy and recruiting director at SI, will join us in the third and final hour here. We'll be all over the place making sure you need to know or have everything you should say, I should say, you need to know. I have had 4 hours of sleep, people. I did a Steelers post-game show, got up and now, bang, right back in it. Happy to be here, though. Make sure you follow me on social media, at the Chris Mack. Filling in for Nick Costos today. Let's get to the biggest five stories of the day. Right off the top, the high five.
Five.
The Mike Tomlins of the world. Matt LaFleur's of the world. Those are just two that kind of I played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat, you know, but the way that the league is covered now and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the, you know, experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke.
It's an absolute joke to Aaron Rodgers to have Mike Tomlin's job security called into question. But to those of us idiot experts on TV and radio, it makes perfect sense to ask what the future holds in Pittsburgh. And we're going to dive into this in great detail a couple times in today's show, including with Mark Cabali, Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, my good friend, who hosts the Cabali and Mac podcast with me, which, as I mentioned, we were up till 2 a.m. doing last night, talking about this team and where it goes. And the question is, if after 7 consecutive playoff losses and 9 years, 9 times, Mrs. Bueller, 9 years without a postseason victory, can Steelers owner Art Rooney II finally bring himself to have that very difficult but very necessary conversation with Mike Tomlin that he needs to have? And the framework is laid to make this a mutual parting of ways, a conscious uncoupling, if you were Gwyneth Paltrow. The groundwork is laid for that to be the case. Mike Tomlin has 1 year left on his deal. And the Steelers have to make a decision before March on whether they want to add any more years onto the end of that deal based on the way it's structured. It's time for Art Rooney II to talk to Mike Tomlin about not getting that extension. Sorry, Mike, you're going to have to coach for your job in 2026, which makes the decision on Mike Tomlin's part very simple. Do I want to go out in my 20th season as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers and prove that I still got it. I still got answers to the questions. Or if you're Mike Tomlin, do you look Art Rooney II in the eye, shake his hand and say, thank you, Mr. Rooney, for everything, but I can't be a lame duck. I can't play quarterback roulette for one more year. I think I'm going to go hang out on a set in L.A., sit at a desk next to Gronk and Strahan with my buddy Jay Glazer a few feet away and make a boatload of money for spinning some of those fantastic phrases that I turned during my weekly press conferences. Because that's what the option should be for Mike Tomlin after becoming this generation's version of Marvin Lewis. And let's not get it twisted. That's what Mike Tomlin has become. He has become this generation's Marvin Lewis. My wife, who consumes football only via osmosis when I sit there and watch Red Zone for 12 hours every Sunday, every fall, for 18 weeks, even knows that being tied with Marvin Lewis is bad. She sent me a screenshot last night of that leaderboard that was posted on the screen last night. Marvin Lewis, 7 consecutive playoff losses, and then bang, Mike Tomlin right there. Right ahead of Marty Schottenheimer, who, by the way, got fired after 6 consecutive playoff losses after going 12-4. Jim Mora, playoffs, was in there as well after his tenure in Indianapolis. 6 consecutive playoff losses. You can be good. You can be damn good. And you can still not be the guy for the job anymore. Mike Tomlin's going to be a great head coach if he decides to coach somewhere else. But it has run its course in Pittsburgh. And the Rooney family, who dread the idea, it breaks their heart, the idea of firing a head coach. They haven't had to do it in half a century. More than that, my voice cracked. That's how long it's been since the Pittsburgh Steelers have fired a head coach. They can save some face here, not be the team that fired Mike Tomlin, but be the team that made it so distasteful for Mike Tomlin to stick around that he had to move on. And that's the only option in front of the Rooney family and the Pittsburgh Steelers organization right now. As I mentioned, we'll get into it in greater detail in less than 20 minutes with Steelers insider Mark Cabali. Next.
4.
He's shoved across. They'll go ahead and take the touchdown as, again, Reggie Gilliam rides right behind him. And the Bills are back in front with a minute to go.
Josh Allen's touchdown run that put the Bills ahead and won the game in Jacksonville this weekend. I've come around, though, because that play came immediately after a 9-yard tush push. I've come around. I fought on behalf of it for a long time, but I can't in good conscience do it anymore. It's time to get the tush push out of the game. And ironically enough, it's going to be a team that voted for banning it a year ago, running it to bastardized perfection on Sunday afternoon, that led me to finally throw my hands up and say, enough is enough. What are we doing? This ain't football. It's rugby. It's 3 offensive linemen picking up Josh Allen and carrying him 9 yards down the field. Yes, rugby was the game 150 years ago, and football evolved from that. I get it. But the forward pass was legalized 120 years ago. And when it was, dudes were wearing leather helmets and horsehair stuffed shoulder pads. But people are no longer dying from rugby-like scrums at the line of scrimmage as they were in 1905. Teddy Roosevelt's got to be rolling over in his grave. Look it up, kids. He was the president. He said, you got to fix football or else it's going to be made illegal. Not to mention Don Coryell and every coach over the past century who worked on turning the game from 3 yards in a cloud of dust into something resembling what we have now that's actually entertaining. Look, I love a nice duo block or a pulling guard getting outside and squashing little track stars in the opposing secondary. That's football. But that's not what we saw in Jacksonville. Oh, that was an abomination. And when the tush push does get banned this offseason, it has to happen now, doesn't it? You can thank Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills for putting the final nail in the coffin on Sunday afternoon. Next.
3.
I think that the move to 12 was really well timed. There's some clunkiness to it because the model was introduced, remember, in 2021. Mm-hmm. And that was before we expanded with Oklahoma and Texas, before the Big Ten. There's been a domino effect. And we were slow to adapt in real time because we were slow to accept the 12-team idea. And I was part of the group that introduced 12. I think 12 was right. I think it was done at the right time. When we've talked as a league, we think the move to 16 is the next right step.
That's Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner on the Rich Eisen show a few weeks ago. The two most powerful people in college football now have the future of the playoff in the palms of their hands. Sankey and Tony Petitti, Big Ten commissioner, have 10 days to figure out if they want to tear it up and start it all over again. Do they want to expand the CFP to 16 teams, create more games, which means more money, especially for their conferences and their conferences programs, and figure out just how much of the pie they want to share with everybody else? But do not get it twisted. This is not based on parity at the highest levels of college football because we have Indiana and Miami in the national championship. This is about, hey, how many more games can we add? And how many of those other teams do we have to have in the mix? This is the Big Ten and the SEC fighting over lots and lots of zeros and everybody else just sitting there saying, thank you, sir. May I have another? That wasn't a bad British accent, if I do say so myself. That's what this is about. It's about the power to lining their pockets and stuffing the vaults of their programs and how they can do it while guaranteeing as little inclusion for the other guys as possible. I don't hate the idea of 16, but the idea of 24 that's also being floated out there. When are we going to finish the season? In February? Or are we going to start it in July? How are we going to make that work? The CFP might have a little bit more room for growth, but we're 2 years into the current model. Rather than chasing the dollar signs and the zeros, let's take a step back, let this thing play out for another year or two, and see if maybe more parity actually puts some power back in the hands of people not named Sankey and Petitti. Again, we'll talk to Brooks Austin at 11:20 Eastern, not just about the national championship game, but about the future of the CFP as well. Next.
Two.
You know, I was trying to get him off the field, you know, because we were about to punt, and that was really it. So I love AJ. I think he knows how I feel about him. I have a special relationship with him. We probably went through every emotion you can possibly have together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've yelled at each other. You know, we're both emotional. I was trying to get him off the field, and you know, you never want. You know, that happens in this game. That happens in this game. But I love him.
I love him. When you say you love somebody that much, Nick, do you really love A.J. Brown? We laughed together. We cried together. We watched some Hallmark Christmas movies together over the holidays. We have a great relationship. Really. It's time for change in Philly. I said it over the weekend here on Westwood One Sports, but the Eagles' inability to score even 20 points was going to be their kryptonite this postseason. And it showed up at home, no less, against a 49ers defense that's been bludgeoned and bloodied by injuries all year. Yet there the Eagles were, with the game in their hands multiple times at the link, dropping footballs in crucial situations, especially A.J. Brown. And that's why it's not Nick Sirianni that has to go, just a year removed from a Super Bowl title. It's not Jalen Hurts. And simply moving on from Kevin Petullo, their offensive coordinator, isn't going to be enough. It's time for the Philadelphia Eagles to make some major moves. That starts with detaching themselves from A.J. Brown. This is not a unique take. I heard multiple people say it yesterday. Brown's a fantastic wide receiver when he's engaged. But he's also a massive distraction that created a sense of detachment in the Eagles' locker room all year. And that sense of detachment extended into the offense and onto the field all too often this season. It was bounced around by some people as a rumor before the trade deadline back in November, and now the Eagles actually need to step up and do it. Get what you can for A.J. Brown while he's still an elite wide receiver in the NFL, despite those drops on third down Sunday, and get the toxicity and the appeasement out of the game plan and the locker room before a new OC has to come in and deal with it and learn to placate A.J. Brown. Don't craft an offense to satisfy A.J. Brown when every single thing about your offense should work off of Saquon Barkley. Trade A.J. Brown. That's step one. And as for that new OC, you want change. Real change. Want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Hire Mike McDaniel as your offensive coordinator. You want some drama in Philly? Mike McDaniel busting it down the school kill? Oh, yes. Let's get nuts in Philly. Next.
One.
But do I think the Packers are making the right call by potentially keeping Matt LaFleur and signing him to an extension? I do. And I didn't think it would happen.
Nick Kostos, my good friend, who usually hosts this show, You Better You Bet, right here on Westwood One Sports. Yesterday, I was listening to the show, and I heard Nick talking about Matt LaFleur's future in Green Bay and how the Packers have to just do the smart thing, right? Do the smart thing and give LaFleur his extension. I don't know if it's that cut and dried, Nick. And you can argue in counterpoint based on whatever the Packers do or do not do in the coming days and weeks. But I don't think there's any way the Packers can get away with giving Matt LaFleur exactly what he wants. You can't get away, if you're the Packers, with giving LaFleur more than a one-year Band-Aid extension on his current deal. That's what makes the most sense here. I understand Ed Policy, their new team president, he's just disgusted by the idea of a lame duck coaching staff. Okay, that's fine. Maybe you like some of the stuff Matt LaFleur has done. Maybe, like Aaron Rodgers said up at the top of the show a couple minutes ago, we're all too quick. All of these fake experts on social media and sports talk radio and TV. Maybe we're too quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. But are you telling me that what you saw from Matt LaFleur down the stretch this year, especially those two games in 3 weeks at Soldier Field, you're telling me that you're supremely confident in that guy, supremely confident enough to give him multiple years and lots of money? I wouldn't be. No way, no how. When's the last time the Packers won the NFC North? When that Rodgers guy was their quarterback. I could not, in good conscience, give Matt LaFleur more than one additional year on the end of his deal. I'm not telling you to fire the guy. I'm telling you to make it clear that he's on a ticking clock and he better figure this stuff out sooner rather than later. And he better find a way to cure the meltdowns against your biggest rival, the team who you stomped a hole in for the better part of two decades, who all of a sudden has your number at the most consequential moments in games, in the most consequential games. You can't let Matt LaFleur just walk in and sign some multi-year extension based off the way the end of this season went. One more year on the end of this year's deal. That's what you give him. And if he doesn't like that, fine. Go coach the Falcons, Matt. Go ahead. We'll go hire John Harbaugh. Go to Arizona. Go somewhere else. Go melt down in the playoffs with somebody else's organization. But it's not going to happen here year after year after year after year, and there won't be any consequences. We'll talk about where the NFL offseason goes for those teams that are out of it at the top of the hour with Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, and obviously start to dive into the divisional round as well. The four matchups are set. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll get into the Texans specifically, because while the big story of the morning is what happens in Pittsburgh with the Steelers, we'd be losing the forest for the trees if we didn't acknowledge that the Texans defense went absolute bully ball last night in Pittsburgh and dominated the Pittsburgh Steelers, and asked ourselves whether they can do that again in Foxborough this weekend, and maybe even again after and again after that. How far can defense carry the Texans, even with CJ Stroud playing the way he did last night, which for the first two and a half, three quarters of the game was not very good. And without Nico Collins, we would think, going into Foxborough next weekend. But coming up next, back into the Steelers. And we'll ask Mark Cabali, Steelers insider, how much change is actually going to happen in Pittsburgh. That's next here on Westwood One Sports. This is You Better You Bet.
If he's let go, there'll be a lot of suitors knocking on his door for that as well.
Here's an interception for good measure. It's picked off by Bullock. And Rodgers is in his way, trying to make the tackle. Can't, and it's a touchdown, Texans.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Icing on the cake for the Texans last night, a late pick six. They end up beating the Steelers 30-6. Largest home playoff loss for the Steelers in decades, if ever, maybe. And they are done. Is Aaron Rodgers done? Could Mike Tomlin be done? We'll get into all of that in just a moment with my good friend Mark Cabali, Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Steelers insider for the last quarter century. I'm making him sound old. He isn't. Don't worry. Just reshuffling the deck real quick here. We will get in-depth college football talk with Brooks Austin of the Film Guy Network coming up now at around 10:40 this morning here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports inside the Westwood One Sports app. And we'll reshuffle things to make sure we get into absolutely everything you need to talk about this morning here on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos this morning. He is the co-host with, well, me of Cabali and Mack, which talks all things Pittsburgh sports, especially the Steelers. And as I mentioned, a Steelers insider for the last 25 years, Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Cabali joins me now. Kaboom. It's only been about 7 hours since we last spoke to each other. So I'm sure you're very excited to get up and talk to me after being up late, breaking down what happened with the Steelers last night. But let's start there. What the hell happened last night?
Pretty much the same stuff that we've seen over the past 6 or 7 years in the playoffs. They just didn't live up to their capabilities. I mean, especially yesterday or last night. It got away from them pretty quickly, especially offensively, and they had their opportunities early in this game to really make a dent in it and have an opportunity to win the game. And a lot of the stuff that they've had issues with throughout the whole season just come flooding back all at once. And I mean, you saw it with being able to stop the run with Woody Marks. You saw it with allowing some breakdowns in the secondary. You saw it with not being able to run the ball. Rodgers getting pressured. It was just like, it was almost felt like to me that they patched things up with Band-Aids all throughout the season. And, you know, they got into the shower and took a shower and all those Band-Aids fell off and every wound was exposed. And it was a little bit uglier than it probably should have been with those 14 or 21 points or 20 points in the last 10 or 11 minutes. But make no mistake about it, they were just outmatched.
I now have a disturbing visual of Arthur Smith in the shower. Thank you for ruining my morning. I appreciate that. 0-for-6 on third downs in the first half. We're going to talk a lot about Rodgers and Tomlin over the next few days and weeks when we talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what do you think the future holds for Arthur Smith, who we've already heard has interest from at least the Titans for a possible head coaching position?
Yeah, I don't think anything happens. I mean, after seeing what happened Monday night, I don't think he's number one on many people's list of a head coaching job here. If you're putting up 130 total yards or whatever it was, I just don't think that that's a possibility. I think he comes back. He has 1 year left on his contract, and we know how the Steelers historically have let guys play out their contract. I mean, the only one they didn't was with Matt Canada, but they waited till November of the final year of his deal to let him go. So I don't think anything happens there. I think it's status quo from him. Comes back and they just try to improve on which was at times a difficult year with not a ton of weapons, and the weapons that they did have, for some odd reason, they decided not to use them. So I don't think anything happens. I mean, it sounds like the Pittsburgh Steelers that we all know and love. Status quo, move forward, and just try to get better.
So, and I know we just talked about this at like 1 a.m. last night, you and I on our show, but I have to go back to this. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So do you truly expect that, given all other options, the Steelers will attempt to lure Aaron Rodgers back for another season and attempt to run it back another year with Tomlin and Rodgers?
I probably would, because, you know, 12 hours ago, I think you asked pretty much anybody associated of being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, they would all have said, yes, we want Rodgers back. It's how important he's been to this organization this year. Not only the way he's played, he showed that he still has some left in the tank, but not only that, I think he reintroduced a culture that was been missing to this team over the past half a decade of how to win, or how to at least comport yourself during a season to have a opportunity to win. So I think, I mean, with what you have on your roster, and you have Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, Skylar Thompson, what there's potentially have in the draft, which is nobody is going to be a plug-and-play player at 21 or wherever they're picking, and the free agency market not very rich with talent, you know what? Your best bet probably is having Aaron Rodgers come back for one more season, but a lot of things would have to happen, like we've talked about before. I mean, a lot of things. If you're Aaron Rodgers, you want to make sure, first of all, Mike Tomlin comes back, because he defends Mike Tomlin more than you do, Mac. Rodgers, any chance he gets. So he loves him. He loves Arthur Smith. But I would want to make sure, what's the plan, too? Hey, I need some help here on offense a little bit. Are you going to get me a receiver, too? Are you going to get me something else to be able to help me push this offense forward? If all those things end up working out, yes, I think he'll come back. If not, hey, I do find it interesting that every time he's been asked a question of if he wants to return to the Steelers, he hasn't really pushed back on the opportunity of playing somewhere else, which just seems like strange to me. But he did it again last night.
Yeah, I'm curious, though. Mark Abali, Steelers Insider, is with us here on You Better You Bet. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos. I find it curious how Aaron Rodgers' decision affects what Mike Tomlin may or may not want to do, because I just wouldn't, if I were Mike Tomlin, I would not have the stomach for another year of quarterback roulette. Do you think he does?
Honestly, he hasn't had to deal with a quarterback roulette for, 15 of his 19 years or 18 years. This is just a recent development since 2001 that they've been running through quarterbacks like people, you know, run through underwear at times. So
if you're only changing your underwear once a year, Mark, then we need to have a side conversation later.
Hey, you don't worry about my underwear. I don't think it bothers him. I don't think it matters to him. I think he uses it as a challenge. And maybe Mason Rudolph does give him a better chance. Maybe there is somebody out there. Maybe the old con artist has something up his sleeve that can bring in a quarterback. I don't know if I want a guy like Kyler Murray or anybody to that matter. You might as well just keep with what you have right there. But you still got a pretty good semblance of a defense, which I think is pretty much a sure bet that Terrell Austin won't be back there, D.C. Bring in somebody else there who's had more success than Terrell Austin. I mean, Terrell Austin failed in, what, Cincinnati and Detroit, I believe. Didn't do much better here. Nicest guy in the world, but nicest guys in the world don't win you games and doesn't have $160 million defenses do you turn into giving up 400 yards to C.J. Stroud and Woody Marks and Christian Kirk? So I think there will be some changes like that, but I don't think he cares about playing the, as you say, at the quarterback roulette. I think he's arrogant enough to think that whoever he puts out there, they can win, even though they haven't.
Has he convinced everyone else in the organization, and I mean by everyone else, up to and including the owner, Art Rooney II, that he still has the answers to the test? Because this is 9 years without a playoff win, 7 consecutive playoff losses. It ties Marvin Lewis for the longest such streak. Do the people who matter in the Steelers organization, which really is just one person above Mike Tomlin, the owner, Art Rooney, does Rooney believe that Tomlin still has the answers to the questions? And will he get an extension on his deal in March, or do they let him hang out to dry as a lame duck?
You know, if you really want to move on from Mike Tomlin without making it look like you got rid of him, I mean, you got an easy out. Just say, hey, we're not picking up that option. Is now in your court, Mike. Do you want to come back as the so-called lame duck coach for next year, or do you want to walk away thinking that you've at least earned an opportunity to have an extension and not play on a final year if you want to play hardball? But I don't think you can give him an extension at this point. It just looks bad in the court of public opinion here. A team that hasn't won a playoff game since 2016 season, and now you're just giving your head coach an extension just for what? So, I mean, if Art really wants to move on from him without moving on from him, you go there. You go down that route, and maybe that does the job. But other than that, I don't see that Art Rooney wants to be a part of removing Mike Tomlin from his position. Maybe, you know, next year and the contract runs out and the mutual decision there might be something that is more plausible. But for him to come in and saying, okay, Mike, we need to have our end of the year talk. Hey, by the way, we don't need you anymore. We don't want you anymore. I just don't see that happening.
Mark, go get some sleep. It was a long night, and we'll definitely keep an eye out for what's going to happen next in Pittsburgh. We appreciate it, bud.
Yeah, it wasn't happening until you just woke me up. So,
well, thanks for waking up for just a couple minutes. We appreciate it. Mark Cabali, Steelers insider, Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, my good friend who also co-hosts the Cabali and Mac Show with me here in Pittsburgh. And we were up late with a post-game perspective on this thing. And I think that's what Mark just said there as he dismounted, which is the Steelers organization has a way to make it untenable for a coach of Mike Tomlin's tenure and stature to want to stick around. And they don't have to, quote unquote, fire Mike Tomlin. They can just come to a mutual agreement where Mike Tomlin doesn't want to coach as a lame duck. The Steelers don't want to give him an extension, and it leads to him walking away. We'll see how it plays out over the next few days, weeks, and months. We'll talk to Frank Schwab about what he would do if he were in charge in Pittsburgh from Yahoo Sports, and also look ahead to the divisional round with the Schwab at the top of the hour. Brooks Austin going to join us a little bit more than an hour from now as well to talk college ball. But coming up next, can the Houston Texans use that bully ball formula and beat up the Patriots in Foxborough the way they beat up the Steelers in Pittsburgh last night? Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos on You Better You Bet right here on Westwood One Sports. That's next.
Down and 12. Rodgers, time runs out. Ball is out. It's picked up by the Texans and Sheldon Rankins. And he is in for a touchdown.
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
The Texans defense came and did exactly what a lot of people expected them to do in Pittsburgh last night. Joe Buck on the call on ESPN and ABC last night on the finale to Wild Card Weekend on Monday Night Football. First home Monday night loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers, by the way, since 1991. First road playoff victory in Texans franchise history. The divisional round is now set. I got a question about what the Texans did last night and how much farther they can go with it in just a second. But BetMGM players, you're going to get on any sport a parlay boost token to start the new year off, right? Use your parlay boost token inside the BetMGM app right now. Find your parlay, put it together, any sports, and then activate the token. You win your wager that was made with that token. You get extra winnings with that odds boost token. Score a bigger payout. Download the BetMGM app today, and please gamble responsibly. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos here on Westwood One Sports, inside the Westwood One Sports app, and streaming live on YouTube at The Costos. YouTube.com/@TheCostos. Nick will be back tomorrow, but we've got a lot to talk about today. We'll get back into that conversation about the Steelers and the future of Mike Tomlin just a little more than an hour from now. Brooks Austin will join us in less than an hour, right around 10:40 Eastern, of the Film Guy Network, recruiting director at SI as well, to talk about the national championship game that is now 6 days away between Indiana and Miami and the possible realignment slash expansion of the college football playoff that's once again being debated, a possible jump to 16 teams, maybe even 24. We'll get into that as they're running out of time to come to a decision in regards to the structure of the CFP. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports to talk about the divisional round matchups at the top of the hour as well. But I don't know, can the Texans do this again Sunday afternoon in Foxborough against the New England Patriots? Can they do to Drake May and the Patriots what they did to Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers? For the first half last night, first two and a half quarters even, the Texans weren't, they were generating pressure, but they weren't getting home on Aaron Rodgers necessarily. Now, obviously, as you heard on the call from Buck there at the top of the segment, they ended up getting home. And it wasn't just the usual suspects. It wasn't just Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. The push was coming up the middle. You heard the Sheldon Rankins fumble recovery and return for the touchdown, the scoop and score there. The entire front seven did a job on the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. The secondary did their job on the receivers. Nobody was open downfield for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Texans looked like what they had looked like through most of the back half of the season. The best defense in the NFL. And comes back around. When I was filling in for Nick here on You Better You Bet a week ago, I said there's no thing your drunk uncle likes to remind you of while watching a game more than after a few pops, a few whiskey sours, whatever his drink of choice may be, your uncle leans over and uncomfortably close says to you in almost a whisper, yeah, defense wins championships, though. And that may actually be the case this year. Because when you look at the quarterbacks that we have left, Allen, Stafford, May, Caleb fit into that mix? No, it's Stafford and Allen right now are the two that you look at and say, okay, those are Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks. Allen hasn't been there yet, but he's an MVP. Stafford should be this year. And without a litany of elite quarterbacks left in these playoffs, maybe it's an opportunity for the defenses to win a championship. Now, I would not be the least bit surprised if we get that from New England's defense against C.J. Stroud next Sunday, too, because Stroud looked uncomfortable at best last night. Ended up making a few throws. I mean, you can't argue the fact that it was an absolutely huge game for Christian Kirk. He stepped up when Nico Collins was either blanketed by Joey Porter Jr. or after Collins left the game. But if the Patriots have a week, nearly a week, to plan for a Texans offense without Nico Collins, I don't see the Texans generating on the ground against the New England Patriots Sunday afternoon what they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. And a lot of those chunks of yardage came on the first touchdown drive for Houston, and then late as they were running out the clock, but they still did generate that. C.J. Stroud cannot have another game like he did last night. Four fumbles, two of them lost. Messy with the shotgun snaps, had trouble handling the football. I don't know what was causing that for C.J. Stroud. If you would have told me it was his first ever playoff start, I'd have said, oh, okay, this is how a quarterback making his first playoff start on the road in a hostile environment, he might have some nerves, some butterflies, some jitters. Okay, C.J. Stroud isn't a guy making his first playoff start. So that part still needs to be resolved. And I don't know if the Texans can go into Foxborough with C.J. Stroud playing like that and steal a game from the New England Patriots. But I do think if he gets it together and the Texans want to muddy up the game again, as they did last night, and if their defense can force Drake May to make some mistakes, The massive difference here, obviously, is that Drake May can make things happen with his legs, that Aaron Rodgers still has only vague memories of when he goes on an ayahuasca trip. Rodgers cannot move anymore. Certainly not the way he did in his prime, and certainly not the way Drake May can move now. So can the Texans get to Drake May, force him into some mistakes? I think it's possible. I don't know if it's probable. I don't think I'd bet a side on this game. The total, though, at 40.5, I'm going under. You saw the Patriots with three field goals before they finally punched one in late against the Chargers. And you saw the Texans with just two offensive touchdowns last night. So between the two of them, they scored three touchdowns in their wild card game. I don't think we get to 40. So that would be my bet on this game. But I think what's much more interesting is whether the Texans can actually bully their way to an AFC championship game. There are still some really good defenses left in these playoffs. The Texans, obviously. Denver, obviously. Seattle. That I think can carry quarterbacks in the case of C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, Sam Darnold, a round or two farther in the playoffs than they would ordinarily be expected to go. But on the road at New England, if C.J. Stroud looks like even a whisper of what he was last night, it won't be good enough. It just won't. Coming up, we will dive into all four of those divisional round matchups with Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, who covers the NFL. Ask him if he has any bets that he likes early in the week. And we'll ask him. We'll put you in Art Rooney II's shoes. Frank, what would you do with Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers? That's next here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.